Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Abigail Jenkins, President and CEO of Gamida Cell, a biotech company with offices in Boston, Massachusetts, and R&D facilities in the Israeli capital of Jerusalem. According to its mission statement, Gamida Cell strives to enable patients with cancer and other serious diseases achieve cures through next-generation cell therapies. Thank you for speaking with us today, Abby.
Thank you.
Please, if you would, give us a quick overview of your company, how it got started, and a little background about yourself.
Sure. So our company was founded in 1998 as a pioneer in the cell therapy space, looking for different approaches to expand in culture highly functional cells derived from umbilical cord blood or from peripheral blood to enhance their potential therapeutic efficacy. And so for 20 years, the company was looking at different applications for this technology, but more recently, just in 2017, AmidubaCell, our lead asset, which is a hematopoietic stem cell transplant and advanced cell therapy from our pipeline, came forward and went into phase three clinical trials. So it took a long time for this technology, which is the basis of our technology, is what we call NAM or nicotinamide. And NAM is a platform that we apply to both expand, to increase the number of cells, but also enhance their functionality. And AmidubaCell is the lead asset in our pipeline using that technology.
How did you get involved personally with this?
So I've only been with the company for about 90 days. The previous CEO, whose name was Julian Adams, he's a visionary drug developer, and he's really the CEO that helped take this NAM technology and this science and turn it into a robust pipeline of our stem cell therapy, which is AmidubaCell, but we also have a pipeline of natural killer cell products. And Julian took us into that frontier for the company. So I've joined in the last 90 days as a person who specializes in the commercialization of drugs and in the operationalization of companies as they're moving from clinical to commercial stage. So I'm entering as the company is shifting from a clinical stage company to commercial, pending the launch of our lead asset, AmidubaCell.
Wonderful. So at the recent American Society of Hematology ASH annual meeting in New Orleans, Gamida Cell presented a real-world study comparing the effectiveness of its investigational therapy, AmidubaCell, to other donor sources from the Center for International Blood and Marrow Transplant Research Database. Can you summarize the study's findings and its relevance for patients with myelofibrosis and possibly other rare blood disorders?
Sure. The outcome of this real-world analysis evaluated 52 patients that received AmidubaCell and over 800 patients that received other donor sources. It was shown that AmidubaCell was associated with statistically significant more rapid neutrophil recovery with a median of 10 days for neutrophil engraftment compared to other donor sources with a median of 15 to 20 days. The analysis also evaluated other outcomes comparing AmidubaCell's phase three results to those from the CIBMTR database overall survival, and found that it was comparable across donor sources. These data really reinforce what we've previously presented, showing rapid time to neutrophil engraftment and an overall survival trend with AmidubaCell. And these are the first data to compare AmidubaCell to other transplant graft sources. And that's building on the data that we generated with our phase three, which directly compared AmidubaCell to standard cord blood transplant.
So in terms of survival, how does that translate into actual meaningful numbers for patients?
I think overall survival is certainly a key endpoint. From our phase three clinical trial, the overall survival was 73% for AmidubaCell versus 60% for standard cord. So this is an important outcome. But there were a number of secondary endpoints from our phase three clinical trial, such as a reduction in the rate of infections and an increase in the number of days alive and out of the hospital. And those are as meaningful of benefits as overall survival, because you can imagine that a patient that is receiving a stem cell transplant is somewhat at the end of their possible treatment journey. And so it's as important that the factors that lead to overall survival, like a reduction in infections or a reduction in the days in the hospital, those are predictors of the overall survival. They're also predictors of the overall utilization of healthcare resources and the patient's overall quality of life, in addition to their days and years lived.
A bone marrow transplant or stem cell transplant is generally considered a treatment of last resort because of the high risk of life-threatening side effects. This study shows a significantly increased survival rate. Okay, what is it about this particular IP, omidubicel, that makes it better, and how is it administered?
So omidubicel is administered in a hospital or transplant center setting, and it's administered through an infusion. The way in which omidubicel works and the way our entire pipeline of products works is utilizing this nicotinamide or NAM technology, which expands and enhances the functionality of cells while maintaining their phenotype and potency. With omidubicel, which is the stem cell transplant product, It enables omidubicel to maintain its inherent stemness of the therapy. That means that because our cells are derived from umbilical cord cells, they're innate and they're able to reproduce and reconstitute the immune system. With omidubicel specifically, with this rapid neutrophil engraftment, it is because of the NAM technology that the cells are able to home to the bone marrow. So as the cells home to the bone marrow, that's what produces the neutrophil engraftment. And because they're able to do that rapidly, because of their inherent properties, we're able to demonstrate neutrophil engraftment in 10 days as compared to 15 or 20 days with other donor sources.
Okay. At what stage are you in the regulatory process for this new treatment?
So omidubicel is currently pending FDA review in the United States. It has breakthrough status and it has a priority review, and we have a PDUFA date or drug decision date with the FDA of May 1st, 2023.
Okay. And also, you have a pipeline asset, GDA-201, which is being studied primarily in lymphomas, including diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. Let's talk about that one, if you could, too, since Rare Disease Advisor also covers this disease.
Sure. So GDA-201 is our lead clinical candidate out of our NK or natural killer cell pipeline. And the NK field is a very exciting field. It's expanding with many different approaches, and we're pleased to be at the forefront of exploring our NK therapy as part of this competitive landscape. The NK therapy is, we've demonstrated very encouraging data in collaboration with the University of Minnesota. There was a phase one proof of concept study that was done in collaboration with the University of Minnesota. And we had data that demonstrated that many patients had a complete response using a fresh formulation of GDA-201. Gamitacell then built on the data that was generated in conjunction with the University of Minnesota using a cryopreserved formulation of GDA-201. And that is currently in a phase 1-2 clinical trial, with the phase 1 portion currently underway, where we are seeking to find an optimal dose. And there are 4 dosing cohorts with that first phase 1 portion.
You mentioned that manufacturing facilities are in Israel as well. Why is that? And in general, how does Israel figure in global efforts to find treatments for blood cancers?
Well, I think there are a number of Israeli biotechs that are really at the forefront in the oncology space, and we're excited to be a part of that ecosystem and landscape. The reason that we put our manufacturing facility in Israel is because that's where our technology originated, and there are certainly a number of incentives through the Israeli government to support manufacturing expansion. We built a fully Gamida-owned, state-of-the-art modular manufacturing facility in Kiryat, and we've been able to demonstrate our ability to produce with over 90% manufacturing effectiveness, where we're having a very high success rate in yield. This is significantly higher than many other external manufacturers, and we're, again, pioneering this space. There's never been a product like omidubicel introduced to the market. So I think we were building on our knowledge base in Israel with our team there who pioneered this technology, and we found a number of incentives that enabled us to build a facility there, and we're able to deliver product. We're actually producing clinical supply out of the Kiryat facility, and we're supporting our expanded access program for patients in need of omidubicel prior to approval.
Wonderful. And what about regulatory approval in Europe? Are you seeking EMA approval as well?
At this point, we're exquisitely focused on our building toward our U.S. approval, hopeful approval and U.S. launch of the product. We believe that there's market potential for OmniDubicel in markets like Europe, Japan, Canada, other markets around the world where there are similar patients in need of an alternate, an advanced alternate donor source. But right now we're focusing all of our resources, human and financial, on bringing OmniDubicel to market in the U.S. But we're interested in exploring partnerships with companies that may have already established infrastructure to take it to these other jurisdictions.
Wonderful. Abby, thank you very much for talking with us. Appreciate your time. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.